one who offers salvation, one who saves. Have you ever been in a crowded emergency room? My wife and I, within the past several months, had a chance to visit one, not to visit, but because it was an emergency. We had to wait quite a long time because there were so many patients. You see, there was only so many rooms. There's only so many doctors. You can't take care of them all. There's so many people. So many people needed attention at the same time, and man at his best is so limited. They were trying their best. Yet Jesus Christ can take care of every single one that comes to him. Every one. Immediately. Roman Catholic dogma claims that you must pray through saints to get to God. They have a saint for the highways, a saint for hospitals, a saint for virtually anything. And by the way, I was reading recently where Pope John Paul, I guess within the past 2 years, made a patron saint for politicians. So he could direct the politicians, obviously. But when you look at something like this, Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, always had time for every single solitary sinner that ever came to him. Every one of them. How much more now when the millions come to him and say, "Look unto me. Look to Jesus Christ. You don't have to look to any human being." An illustration I use so often is if you were to try to hear three people talking to you at one time, you can't do it. Yet they would have Mary up in heaven listening to millions of prayers at the same time. You'd have to be omnipotent. You'd have to be omniscient to hear them all at the same time. Jesus Christ can do that. No one else can. Only eternal God can. Jesus Christ knows all about all of his people's problems and answers all of their prayers individually all the time. That's God. You must pray with faith in Christ's ability. Secondly, under this point, you must pray with a knowledge of Christ's willingness to help. Verse 24 of our text simply says, "And Jesus went with him." Incidentally, when you read the centurion, that's the turning point of the whole passage. Before that, the centurion has no right to say, "Speak the word only." He has no right to assume anything. But once he sees Christ says, "I will heal him," now he's got a promise he can lay his heart on. Now he knows all he has to do is speak the word only. Says, "And Jesus went with him." Never did anyone come to Christ in his need and was turned down. Never. Mark 1:40 says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, here's the God, the great God of compassion. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will. Be thou clean." And again, you'll read immediately. What great power. In the scriptures, you'll never find a willing sinner and an unwilling Christ. It's always the other way around. Christ willingly laid down his life to save sinners. Remember, it says in John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends intentionally." Christ says in John 10:16, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father." Willingly. There's a willing Christ that holds his hands out again and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." It's man that is unwilling. And unless the Holy Spirit takes hold of his heart and regenerates his heart, he won't come. That's the state of man. That's the lot of man. When we pray as intercessors for our loved ones, we must pray with a knowledge that we have a Savior who's willing to help. Thirdly, under this point, you must pray knowing that you're doing something about the situation. Prayer is not a waste of time. Was Jairus wasting his time coming to Jesus Christ here? No. Jairus was making the most of his time. At this point, there's nothing better that Jairus could have done for his unsaved loved one. Have you ever heard people saying, "You're wasting your time"? All you're doing is going on there and praying. The prayer meeting, all you're doing is wasting your time. All Jairus was doing was wasting his time too, wasn't he? The best way that you can spend your time is to pray for your unsaved ones, unsaved loved ones. Bring your requests before the Lord Jesus Christ. The importance of what Jairus did is highlighted by asking the question, what would happen if he did not come to the Lord Jesus Christ? His daughter dies. Some who have given up on the intercessory prayer for their loved ones seem to think that if God's going to save them, he's going to save them. But then they ignore the means that God uses to bring souls. I repeat the question I asked a moment ago. What would happen if Jairus did not come to the Lord Jesus Christ to intercede for his daughter? Can you see how important intercessory prayer is? Jairus prayed knowing that he was doing something about the situation. You must pray that with the knowledge of knowing that you know that you're doing something about the situation. I remember talking to Pastor Brain one time where I had a problem. He says, well, let's do something about it. Let's take it before the Lord. There's the attitude in prayer. Let's do something about it. Let's pray. I don't have the power to help, but I know who does. Fourthly, under this point, you must pray through adversity. Verses 35 and 36 of our text say, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. She's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. See how important Jesus Christ's words and how timely they are right there? Think about what must have been going through Jairus' mind when he was told his daughter is dead. She's dead. Do I give up? People would say, she's dead, give up. Give up on the prayer. They're too far gone. Your unsaved loved one is far too gone. Why are you troubling the master? It's too late. When our loved ones grow so cold toward the gospel that we start thinking the same way, give up, it's too late. It's unbelief. It's as though we say, we tried praying, it didn't work. This is the sin of unbelief. We must always focus our eyes on Jesus Christ. And hear the comforting words come from God Himself. He said, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, we have to hear the same words. Be not afraid, only believe. While you're praying, God is pleased to use your prayers as He builds His kingdom. God uses prayers. When you think of the people who must have been praying for your soul before you were saved, there were people praying for you. God uses prayers. Satan, the great adversary, will oppose every step you take in prayer. He'll try to keep you from the prayer meeting. He'll try to keep you from being on your knees, that private time that you have. He'll try to keep you from doing that. God's building His kingdom through prayer. Satan's not going to take that lightly. But thank God that it says in Luke 22, 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Christ prays for us. That's the glorious good news of it all. That when Satan is trying to oppose you in your prayers, Christ is praying for you. He's praying with you. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to the words of the world's assessment. Keep praying for your loved ones. Keep praying for your neighbors. And keep praying for all those around you, your friends. Look to God and the Word of God. Hear Christ's Word say to you, whenever you're discouraged, be not afraid. Only believe. Get your eyes on me. That's what Christ is saying. You must pray through adversity. One glorious thing happens when your faith is tried. It yields patience. And that leads me to my third point. Let's consider that you must pray patiently. After worshiping Christ, Jairus must have been encouraged that Christ heard his prayer because it says he's coming with him. Here's Christ coming with me. There's the encouragement. But then came the delays. He knew his daughter's time was short. Verse 23 of our text says, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. She's going to die any second. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and I shall live, and she shall live. To pray patiently must be to pray enduring delays. Jairus must have thought, wouldn't it be much faster if all these people weren't thronging Christ? Picture this in your mind. Think of a very crowded room and you have to get to the other end. You have to go through the people who are thronging you. It takes a lot longer to get from point A to point B because there's people there. The situation looks chaotic. It looks like it's out of control. Then comes a woman with an issue of blood. Here comes another woman with her problem. My daughter's dying. It's like waiting for an ambulance during heavy rush hour traffic. What can you do then but wait? You're helpless. Here is where faith is tested and bears the fruit of patience. Spurgeon once said, "Remember that we have no more faith at any time than we have in the hour of trial. All that will not bear to be tested is mere carnal confidence. Fair weather faith is no faith." When you're praying for your unsaved loved ones, we have to remember that when God says not yet, it doesn't mean never. It would only be a matter of minutes before Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Sometimes with your prayers for your unsaved loved ones, it takes years. Sometimes you may never even see it. But God hears the prayers. It's always in God's good timing. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Verses 10 and 11 of the same chapter say, "Take my brethren the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction, and have patience, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy." Patience. We wait for God's timing. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 says, "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister." And I would suggest part of that ministry is prayer. Paul would also say, "Pray for me." Here's the great Apostle Paul, who God works through without a doubt. Paul says, "Pray for me." How much more us? Pray for us. Pray for each other. It says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Patience. God's timing. "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." There's the patience that we need. Psalm 40, verse 1 declares, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry." You must pray patiently. Fourthly, let's consider that you must pray fervently. Verse 23 says that Jairus besought Christ greatly. Two things fuel fervency in prayer. One is that the love that we have for those we're praying for. That makes it so we pray harder, doesn't it? It's easy to see that Jairus has a great love for his daughter. He is expressing it by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say that you can express the love for your loved one by no greater means than to pray for him. That's the greatest expression of prayer that can ever be for an unsaved loved one. May I also say that you as a Christian are express your love for strangers in the same way. And that in some ways is so very hard to do. People we don't even know of, that we should be praying that the Lord would establish his kingdom. Pray for them because Christ shed his blood. We don't know who the elect are, but we know that God will raise up a people. Our love for strangers should rival our love for our loved ones, friends and neighbors. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to have love for one another, praying for Christ's kingdom to be extended. Our love for strangers should rival the love that we have for our unsaved loved ones, and for our friends and for our neighbors. The second thing that fuels fervency in prayer is the knowledge of the consequences of what happens when we don't pray. And I touch on what I said earlier. What would happen if Jairus doesn't pray here? Jairus doesn't go to the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole thing falls apart and she dies. Another tragic young person dies. Another tragedy. It doesn't happen because the Lord Jesus Christ stops it. Because the prayer stopped it too. The prayer brought Jesus Christ there. I remember it says in John chapter 4, verse 49, The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Isn't that our prayer? Come down ere my child die. Come down ere my father or my mother or my loved one die. Lord, come down. We need you to move, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need you. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth not much. To pray fervently means never giving up. The consequences are too great. You'll never read in the scriptures of someone approaching Jesus Christ asking for help in saving their loved one and being denied. Is not this an encouragement for you to pray this evening? When you pray for your loved ones, you must pray reverently, in faith, fervently, and patiently. Remember that reverent prayer does not focus on self-importance. It's all about Christ. Reverent prayer is seeking God for who He is. You must pray with faith in Christ's ability and with a knowledge of Christ's willingness to help you as you pray. And knowing that you're doing something about the situation. Prayer does things. You must pray through adversity. You must pray patiently. You must pray fervently. Like Jairus, we must be found on our knees, worshiping Jesus Christ, worshiping before the omnipotent God of the universe, the one who can do something about the problem. Again, I can't help you, but I know who can. We must go to Him. We will find again the unsurpassed, infinite mercy and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ again being displayed before your very eyes as He answers your prayer. Just as He commands the little dead girl, Talitha Kumai, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. He will say to our loved ones, I say unto thee, arise as well. Speak the word only, Lord Jesus, and our loved ones will be healed. Let us pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, Lord, how we thank Thee again for this story. We thank Thee for this encouragement to pray. We thank Thee that it reveals a God of compassion. We thank Thee that we come and worship before the God of compassion. Lord, we would ask Thee that even as Jairus came for his little girl, Lord, that we would come for our unsaved loved ones, for our friends and our neighbors, and for those strangers that we do not know who are yet outside of Christ, those for whom Christ has died. Lord, we come unto Thee and plead unto Thee fervently, asking Thee that Thou wilt hear. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art a great God and that we approach the great throne room of our great God Almighty. Now, Lord, we are confident that Thou hearest our prayers. Lord, we thank Thee for this day. Lord, we ask Thee that Thou wilt energize each one of Thy servants. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we would ask Thee that Thou wilt receive our worship. For it's in Jesus Christ's great name we do pray. Amen.